Hello, and welcome to show number 2552 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
People wanted to be able to listen to our programming in more of an on-demand fashion. And part of that was, you know, we wanted to find kind of a more modern, quote unquote, way to get audio to our listener base, because up until about 2018, the only way to do that was listening on a digital receiver, which looks like a little radio with a little speaker on the front and a volume knob.
And we'll learn how today's guest got interested in working at a radio reading service.
On today's show, we'll be talking about radio reading services in the digital age. We'll talk with Evan Starnes, a blind audio producer at AfterSight, the radio reading service for the state of Colorado, and how he turned a childhood fascination with sound into a career in accessible media. We'll talk with Evan about his work on his own podcast, Blind Level Tech, the evolution of radio reading services, and how tools like Audacity and Reaper can empower blind creators to produce engaging content. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Evan Starnes.
My tip of the week is an A-Lady tip, and I'm not sure how many people knew this, but you know, you have the ability, of course, to get things like smart plugs or what have you, turn them on and off with your voice. And, you know, you can go into the A-Lady app and automate them. But you can actually do a lot of that with your voice. And I love this because I've got a fan in the bedroom, a simple fan, that's turned on and off with a smart plug. So, you know, A-Lady turn on fan, A-Lady turn off fan. But I like to go to sleep with the fan on at night. And so what I've been able to do is set timers to both turn on or off appliances. And you can do this with the and then command or just as a separate command, but you can say turn off the fan in 5 hours or turn on the fan at 5:45 p.m. and it'll do that, and you can schedule things that way. And I just have found it to be super handy, especially for lights, fans, anything that you can automate, you can schedule with just your voice.
Little known feature, but very useful. Thanks for that tip.
Of course.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Evan.
This is the first time we've had today's guest on our show, but we've actually been on his show before, and we'll be broadcasting an excerpt from that episode in next week's episode. But in the meantime, Evan, maybe you can tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Evan Starnes. I am a totally blind individual. I work at a nonprofit organization called AfterSight, and I am quite a tech guy, and that might be an understatement. So I do a whole mix of things, from audio production to technical assistance, and also a podcast called Blind Level Tech.
So you mentioned you work at AfterSight. Can you describe quickly what AfterSight is?
Yeah, think of AfterSight as an information hub. It was once known as a radio reading service, but I'm kind of trying to go away from that. But effectively, we provide access to a little over 100 different local and national newspapers, magazines, etc. And we provide that in audio format read by volunteers. And then on top of that, we offer several original podcasts that are hosted by AfterSight staff or members of the blind and low vision community. And in addition, we've got a couple of support groups, including an audiobook club and a low vision support group, and a project that enables you to get a free white cane once a year.
And you provide this service to the entire state of Colorado in English and Spanish.
That's right. Since 1991.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Evan Starnes' work on podcasts like Blind Level Tech, the evolution of radio reading services now that there are many other accessible sources of information, and how tools like Audacity and Reaper can empower blind creators to produce engaging content.
Well, Evan, since you are in radio, tell us a little bit about how you got interested in radio. Were you interested in such things when you were a youth?
Kind of, yes, you could say that. Going into this job about 4 or 5 years ago now at this point, which is hard to believe, I got to say, I thought I wanted to be in, you know, go into IT and work a lot on computers and stuff. I'd done internships in the past at my district, working and taking apart computers. And then I was offered the internship here, but kind of leading up to that, when I was very, very young, I mean, we're talking 3, 4 years old, my mom gave me a handheld microcassette recorder, and I absolutely adored it, as in I would take that thing around, record sounds and just little dialogues of me doing whatever a 3 or 4 year old does. Yeah, that thing went everywhere. And that's really what started my, I think, the roots of what started my interest in radio. That alongside, I listened to a lot of audiobooks, and I'd always found it very interesting, like, what music are they using in these books, and how are they making it, you know, blend into the book? And I used to try to make my own little productions with a keyboard and a recorder. And then, you know, that kind of stagnated in middle school for the most part, apart from when I downloaded the Audacity audio editing program on my school laptop. And I just one night was bored and decided to make some recordings, and I started playing with it and experimenting with different effects, and eventually figured out, you know, how to put things together, how to make rudimentary podcasts, you know, and this was seventh grade. And then that kind of just grew and grew and sort of became a cure for boredom in high school. And now that I'm graduated, there is somebody that actually listens to this podcast that told me about it years ago that always used to say, like, why are you playing with sounds? Because in high school, when I was distracted, that's what I liked to do, make recordings, make sound effects, mess with audio files. I mean, there were even some classes where I should have been working, but instead I was playing with sounds.
Well, you know, I guess it's not unusual for a blind person to be interested in sounds. After all, that's mostly what kind of input they're getting during the day and paying attention to, right?
Exactly. But, you know, it became a huge hobby for me. And eventually I went to the Colorado Center for the Blind in Littleton from 2020 to 21. I graduated in July. And that year, about April 2021, I was offered an internship. The folks here at what was Audio Information Network of Colorado when I started were looking for somebody to help fix up some volunteers' audio. You know, this being like right smack dab in the middle of COVID, we had like actually 100% of our volunteers, and this is about 120 volunteers, were recording from home. And they did an interview of me. I remember I was sitting in the tech room in the one of the offices at the center, and I was spinning around in a desk chair, and I don't think they noticed. And, you know, I kind of told them literally what I basically said in this podcast, you know, up to that point. And they found it impressive. So I started here in April, and they liked my work. I helped with the help of, you know, Penn Street, our development director, and then Brady Steffel, our former grants manager. We started the Aftersight podcast, which is now the Blind Chick. And that was a lot of fun because I got to do a lot of experiments like field recordings and, you know, just trying to mix the sound effects and music into the podcast creatively in different manners. And, you know, I got gradually more and more efficient at, you know, solely Audacity, because that was the thing I just stuck to. And yeah, and then that kind of just led to, you know, up to now in the grand scheme of things.
That had to be great, getting a job like that, that not only relied on skills and capabilities that you had, but it was also a passion of yours. So you were not only trained well for this job, but you were actually very interested in doing this. That's almost like not working at all.
Exactly. And I will count myself lucky and very blessed here because, yes, not only is it a job where I can do what I love and like totally what I love as a hobby, but you know, I'm serving a community of individuals that I in some way, shape, or form can relate to. And the team that I get to work with is, I mean, it's beyond the dream team. Like, we're like family here. I mean, I don't say that lightly either.
You talked about Audacity a number of times, and I just wanted to mention that that is a free audio editing program that is really fully featured and made very accessible via keyboard hotkeys so that visually impaired people can use it very easily.
Yes, it is.
I use Audacity when I'm doing my part of editing the audio for this show. And although I'm fully sighted, I do most things in Audacity with the keyboard shortcuts as well.
Yes, you know, it is full featured. You can, honestly, I produce blind level tech in Audacity. I mean, I literally everything that I've produced up to this point, you know, for work purposes has all been in and because of Audacity. On Windows, you can totally get around all of the different windows and menus and even access the meters and the selections and stuff with JAWS/NVDA. And it, because it's open source, you can get plugins that just add to the functionality of it. So I'd highly recommend it.
Speaking of blind level tech, that is the podcast for which you interviewed us, and you started that some time ago. Tell us a little bit about how that got started.
Blind level tech actually is a combination of both our podcast producer, Jonathan Price, and myself. You know, it's our creation, I like to say. I mean, it really started from me listening to a lot of, you know, podcasts for the blind and low vision, including this one, especially. And there are a few others out there, but one that really, you know, had always caught my attention because they did a lot of immersive demos and live things. And I just, you know, I loved it. And it was one of those podcasts I'd listen to every single week on, you know, whenever an episode would come out. And starting at Aftersight, you know, we'd had the Blind Chick podcast or Aftersight going for quite a while. You know, we'd done about a little over 25 episodes, and we'd wanted to start kind of more of a, you know, because one of the things they'd asked me, being, you know, a younger person, quote unquote, yes, actually, was how can Audio Information Network, now Aftersight, and other radio reading services appeal to younger generations? And one of the things I had suggested was we need to have a show about, you know, gaming and technology and the latest and greatest. And because we'd had a business technology news program that would report on like tech trends and stuff from like Wired, CNET, et cetera, but nothing really about like what's this new assistive technology coming out, or what's the best pair of smart glasses that you can get, or why should you go with an Apple TV over a Roku, like stuff like that. And, you know, and especially explained in a way that makes sense to literally anybody, regardless of your level of technical abilities. And thus, that's really kind of how Blind Level Tech came to be. We were talking about this tech podcast, you know, kind of brainstorming ideas in a programming meeting. And the way I remember it was all of a sudden it got real quiet. And then Jonathan said, "I got it, Blind Level Tech and BLT. We could even sandwich theme it." And I adored the idea and was like, all right, that's it. We're going to call that a show. So full credit to him for the name, really. It's good. It's great name. And then, you know, it was a matter of getting actually into the realm of being a podcaster, because I'd, or quote unquote, you know, produced and edited podcasts for, you know, a little over a year at that point. But actually hosting one was a whole different beast.
You talk about the sandwich theme of your show, and I remember when you were interviewing us, I was surprised by the question of what was our favorite sandwich and what was the recipe for it. So you do that pretty regularly, right?
When I have guests. In fact, the sandwich of the week is it started a few episodes later. We were trying to just especially in the show's infancy, we were really trying to think of fun, unique little things to add to the show, kind of like your tip of the week segment that you guys have. And for a while, I'd even tried that, but I didn't have a really good name for it. But because of the fact that it's BLT, bacon, lettuce, tomato, you know, it was far too easy to integrate a sandwich of the week segment in. I mean, Jonathan and I were talking about it, and, you know, we'd come to the realization because, you know, my thinking was, well, it's not tech related, but his thinking, and I kind of agreed with this, is that, you know, it diverts from the topic just a little bit. It's kind of a fun way to keep people engaged and also learn about sandwiches, sandwich places, and recipes. So he made a jingle and everything. And
so you talked about trying to come up with material for airing on AfterSight that would be of interest to young people, but that's not really the only challenge that AfterSight had. When they were first formed 20-something years ago, 30-something years ago, Radio Reading Services just read printed material to the blind because the copyright laws allowed them to do that. But these days, there's so many other sources of information. So the Radio Reading Services have really had to evolve to the point where you don't even want to call AfterSight a radio reading service anymore, right?
Yes, and that's me. It's not universal across the team, but it's how I'm trying to push us.
So how else has AfterSight had to evolve?
Well, there are quite a few ways. Since 1991, since we started reading on live broadcast, and I'd really say this all started happening kind of when I got here, about, or maybe even a couple years before that, people wanted to be able to, especially with the concept of streaming platforms, you know, people wanted to be able to listen to our programming in more of an on-demand fashion. And part of that was, you know, we wanted to find kind of a more modern, quote-unquote, way to get audio to our listener base, because up until about 2018, the only way to do that was listening on a digital receiver, which looks like a little radio with a little speaker on the front and a volume knob. We had older ones that actually used AM bands, but, you know, basically effectively a radio. And you could also call in to our telephone service and listen over the phone, you know, with the quality limitations of it being a telephone.
That's how many radio reading services functioned back then. What's changed in what you're doing more recently?
In 2018, we began to pilot the Echo devices, and we started with the second generation Echoes. We did try Google Homes, but they just didn't work as well. And they caught on pretty well, and listeners enjoyed not only being able to listen to our programming, including programs on demand and our live broadcasts, but having access to the entire functionality of Alexa, you know, setting reminders and alarms and stuff. And a lot of our listener base, there's quite a large percentage of them that live in retirement communities, or they need to have reminders and alarms, or, you know, access to the weather or any other information. So it kind of did lump into that whole access to information part of our mission. So we began to pilot that in 2018, and then, quote unquote, we modernized our broadcasting systems in 2019 to 2020 and upgraded our over 10-year-old server equipment and broadcast equipment. And we adopted a podcasting platform. And at first, we were hosting our podcasts on an actual dedicated skill, effectively. And it was pretty complicated. If you wanted to, like, for instance, listen to the Denver Post, you had to say, "Hey, lady, ask AfterSight to play the podcast Denver Post." And it might work or it might not. Typically, you'd have to actually launch the skill and then choose a program that way.
That can be a bit much for some people.
Oh, yeah. And especially for older adults and people that just want their programming and they want to listen to it now. Very unintuitive. And honestly, I think it made up maybe about 1% of actually our total, like, listens of all of our programming. So it was barely even being used. But in 2020 and 2021 is when we actually got the idea to start putting our programming out on podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all those. And that was huge for us. And it made it a lot easier to play podcasts. You could play them on anything that has a podcatcher, even like your VictorReader Stream. And, you know, just you didn't need to have specialized after-site equipments anymore. We still offer the Echo Dots even today, but it wasn't a requirement to be able to listen to our programming anymore. And then 2021 is also when we started to add on original podcasts, just because, you know, newspapers, as you know, in a traditional standpoint, they're kind of starting to shrink a little bit, for lack of a better term. And to kind of supplement that, and also just to give our listener base something, you know, unique, and also the reading service kind of a unique service to offer that a lot of other services don't have, we started with the Aftersight podcast, which actually, when it very first started, it was Community Conversations. And it had kind of been an ongoing thing for like about 7 years. But when the Spanish programming director left Aftersight a few years ago, it kind of fizzled out. And then when Penn Street came on board, she basically volunteered to host the Community Conversations podcast. And then so that started, and it went for about a good year. And we got a lot of different stories from just different individuals who are blind or low vision. We even documented an adaptive ski trip up in Vail, Colorado. And that episode actually won an international award from the International Association of Audio Information Services. And we realized that we wanted to expand our podcasts a little bit more. And, you know, I was kind of managing the broadcast and, you know, doing a lot of the work for our reading service, or what we call our audio editions. And so we hired a producer, and the interview process was a lot of fun, listening to different samples and stuff. And that's when we hired Jonathan Price, and I am thankful every single day that we made that decision, because he has his own cool backgrounds as far as, you know, being a podcast producer for like a decade, but he was also a film score producer. So a lot of the music that you hear on our podcast is original, and that it's stuff that he's composed. Then, you know, that's when we got Blind Level Tech, Navigating Life with Vision Loss, Blind Sight Mental Health, now Code Orange. And that's really, you know, been huge for us, as far as it's gotten us some national and even some international recognition. We even interviewed a lady named Oksana from Russia on, and she was actually on BLT a few months back. And that's been huge for us as far as, you know, staying relevant in the community. And another part of that has also been, you know, really being the service that points people to other services that offer, you know, tools and things that they may need. So we've, you know, added a giant resource page, and we have like PSAs that we read about different services. And then in 2023, we added the White Cane Project and started hosting like the low vision support groups. So really, that's basically how we've adapted our ways to, you know, not just be a radio reading service, more of an info hub.
And now you're carrying Eyes on Success as well.
Yes. Yes, because we do carry a few different podcasts that are meant for people who are blind or have low vision, Eyes on Success being one of them. And I've got to say, I think you guys reached out first to us. You'd asked if we could host it on our platform, and I was over the moon, first of all, I got to say. And we also do host the Tactile Traveler and Disability Diaries with Stephen Vine. So Penny Forward on Mute. We're trying to build a library of podcasts for the blind or low vision community.
Well, it sounds like you got into this field at a very interesting time when there were lots of changes, and it has to be very exciting for you. You do a good job at what you do.
Thank you. It is interesting, especially with all the AI stuff coming out now. And
hopefully AI won't replace the hosts of any of these podcasts yet.
Mark my words, it never will. ever, period.
Right.
I will put my full name on that. That's never going to happen.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about AfterSight and their services, including the podcast that they air, and how to contact them, including today's guest, Evan Starnes.
Well, Evan, if people had questions for you or they want to find out more about AfterSight Radio, how can they do that?
Well, first of all, if you'd like to find out about AfterSight, the best way to do that is visiting our website, which is aftersight.org. And on our main page of our website, there's a giant list of all sorts of things from our original podcasts, our audio editions, our resource pages, White Cane Project. All those links are there. And that's also where you can register to be a listener if you're not. And or if you know, if a phone call is more your thing, you can also give us a call at 303-786-7777. But if you have questions for me, Evan Starnes, I'm always an email away. I'm happy to answer any, you know, to the best of my abilities, your tech questions or, oh boy, I'm going to say that. I'm going to regret it now, aren't I? But you can definitely reach out to me, Evan, E-V-A-N, at aftersight.org, or if you call 303-786-7777 and hit option 4, my extension's 106, and I'm more than happy to talk to you during, you know, business hours, of course. And if you'd like to follow us, you know, on social media, we do also have a presence on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, Mastodon, YouTube, LinkedIn. So definitely feel free to go over and follow us on those platforms. And if you want to follow me on Mastodon or any of those, it's EVDOG1245 on Mastodon if you'd like to do that. I don't really post much on there, but I do keep tabs on a lot of the blind community there too.
And of course, the show notes for episode 2552 will have all of that information in case you missed it in the audio.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success will be the end of the year 2025, and so we are doing a year-end special celebrating 15 years of airing this podcast. It will feature an edited version of an episode of Evan Starnes' Blind Level Tech, in which he interviewed us for his show. We'll discuss the origins of Eyes on Success, challenges in podcasting, memorable episodes, rewarding connections with guests, and how the show has grown over 15 years to inspire the blind community.
And if you look in our archives, you'll find nearly 800 episodes that we've done over that time span. So join us next week for that episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.